to transcendental transformation, the place where spirituality and transformation unite. Host Miss Raina imparts truth so that you can break through your limiting beliefs and evolve into a deeper consciousness. As you go about your day, remember, before every breakthrough, there is a breakdown. And now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's episode of Transcendental Transformation. I'm your host, Miss Raina, and today is Tuesday, May 31st, 2016. And we are coming live from the beautiful city of West Palm Beach, Florida. It is the end of May. Are you guys excited? We're going into June. Summertime is here. I am excited, which means it's going to get really, really hot in Florida. It's already getting hot. It's already, you go in the morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, you start to sweat. But that's why we live in South Florida, right? Anyways, happy belated Memorial Day. Did you guys have a fun and safe Memorial Day? Did you guys have a good 3-day weekend? My weekend was it was just so exciting. I'm still reeling from it. I went skydiving, of course, because I always like to make the best out of my weekends. And it is just one of those weekends where a group of us went from a couple years ago. We had a group of friends. One of them said, "Hey, you guys want to go skydiving again?" And I said, "Absolutely. I am always up for it." And so this was my fourth jump, and I had an amazing time. And we brought, what was nice is we got to bring two newbies. So of course, you know, you get to watch them squirm and act like they, you know, like they're not scared. But when they're up in that plane, their palms are sweating, you see them twitching. But when you sit out on that edge of that plane, I don't care who you are, just for a moment, especially if you're not certified or you're not used to doing it, you see the eyes light up like, "Oh my God, I'm dangling from the side of the plane and I'm about to jump out of it." And it is just such a thrilling rush. If you can't tell by my excitement, I love skydiving. We went to Sebastian, and I got to say, it was the absolute most beautiful view. We got to see the inlet, the ocean, the intercoastal, by far, the best view I've seen out of all my skydives so far. And I hope that there's many, many, many more to come. Every time I go skydiving, I'm always like, "Okay, I'm saving up for my license. I'm saving up for my license," because it is just like I said, if you've done it, you know why I'm excited. If you haven't done it, you're probably thinking, "Oh my God, she's crazy." But when you do it, it just changes perspective for everything. It's like you're flying through the air and like you're free. You have total freedom up there. And it really puts things in perspective of how small we really are. Just as little as 14,000 or 18,000 feet up in the air, you really see how small we really are. But it's always our egos that are big, isn't it? Well, other than that, I had a very relaxed time with friends. You know, I was tired a lot. I did. I waking up with this dog, I got to say, I love my dog Nero. She is awesome. I am so thrilled, but it's like having a child. I wake up all the time to take her out, and actually she's done pretty well as far as potty training, but you know, that you just constantly get up and I don't get the proper sleep that I need. So my days are just I kind of feel like a sloth all the time. I'm just resting all the time and falling asleep on the couch, and I wake up, I'm like, "Oh no, I've just missed an hour." I was like, I gotta get up and do stuff. But my eyesight, if some of you guys are following social media, I finally had to get glasses. It's about that time when I'm starting to get older. And, you know, my glasses cost me with the visit $500. I was like, what's funny about this is I actually have perfect vision or better than perfect vision. She said I had 20/15 vision, and she said, "Your eyesight is like a hawk. However, though, you're working too much on the computer and you're reading too much." And you guys know I'm serious about my work. I'm serious about what I'm going to do. And so I'm always researching for my students, for my work, for everything that I do. And I guess that my focus is having a little trouble, the reading and the computer light. So I got these special glasses and I'm waiting for them. So I'm trying not to look too much at the computer during the show today. But I guess they're supposed to help me with my eyes, strengthen my eyes and reflect all the light so my eyes don't get tired. Well, let's kick into the show. Are you guys ready for the show? Well, if you tuned in last week, we entered the shadows of the Chamber of Obsidian. I got some great feedback from you guys, and I got to say I enjoyed reading your letters, but a lot of you were really confused for some reason. Many of you, I guess, tried to look up my the stuff that I was teaching online and in books, and I got to tell you, you're not going to find a lot of what I teach you guys out there in the books. A lot of what we teach is we go deeper. We give a different perspective. And if you find stuff, it may be an old ancient scrolls long, long time ago. You know, a lot of this stuff isn't in your standard texts. So you will not find the Chamber of Obsidian anywhere unless it may be in some ancient form of a civilization, because, you know, we don't practice these things, and we bury all the knowledge that we used to have. And our world, our society today only likes you to have a very nearsighted, very limited view and knowledge of what the world really was about. So trust me, people, you will not find this. But if you want more information on it, please feel free to write me, call me, let me know what's going on, let me know what's on your mind, and I will try to get back to you. But the big thing that we talked about was responsibility, right? Responsibility. We got to own who we are. We got to be in our authentic self. Our authenticity is key to this. Working in honesty and truth. It's tough. It is so tough to take responsibility for ourselves and own our choices, own who we are. But this is key. This is so vital to growth. And unless you do it, you have no concept of what I mean. But we're confronted with our darkest limitations and blockages. And this scares us, doesn't it? This is why we hold back. This is why we go to the fluff and buff healers, and we like to read all the little cards that are all pretty that really don't do much for us, but give us a moment of satisfaction in a second, and make us feel like something good's going to happen to us, because we don't want to do this. And as I get into healing, for all my students are going through what I call hell month right now, and it is part of this concept. And let me tell you, sometimes it sucker punches them, and it really is like, wow, it's like they didn't realize that this was happening, and it's hard to get through. It really is. But I tell you, and I promise you, if it's done correctly, you will survive it, and you will be able to come out strong and confident, because that's what we're doing, right? We are here at this show, and what I do, I want you guys to be leaders. I want you guys to be a successful you, whatever your idea of a successful you is, self-love, confidence, surety, all the things that are going to make you out into the world to be able to do what you want and to love yourself. That is what the goal of this is. So it's not easy, people, and it's not for everybody, but you must love yourself enough to be able to go through it. So if you missed the show, it's in the archives, as they all are. I want to tell you, we are on our 99th show this week. So that means our next show is going to be our 100th show. Can you believe it? 100th show. We should have hit this mile marker a little bit ago, but you know what? I've been very busy, but we made it, and we're going to keep going, and I'm just so excited. So I'm trying to put together a really, really exciting show for you guys, something that we've never done before. So I might be able to take off next week to prepare for all this, but I will let you know. So check out the social media, and in the meantime, listen to this show. It's definitely well worth it. Tonight is all about the selfless acts of service to humanity. You know, it's funny because many of us believe that it's our mission to help and serve the world, right? But are we truly helping those in need, or are we causing more dependency? That's something we have to ask ourselves. And if we are, how can we help humanity in its truest form for the highest well-being? Tonight is such an important show, and I really wanted to get this show out to you guys, because I don't know how many people come to me week in and week out, month in and month out, and everyone wants to help the world. Everyone wants to change the world. Everyone wants to make this big impact in the world. And you know what? That's such a wonderful thing that there's so many people that really want to shift the earth and shift this society into transition and into growth. But why do we want to do it? Why do we want to help others? Why do we want to do it? Because we want to change the world? Because we want to make a difference? Is that truly why we're doing it? For some of us, maybe. But for others, maybe we want our lives to matter. Maybe we want our lives to mean something. Maybe by sticking to an ideal of being a healer, to making such a great impact on the world, we feel useful and purposeful. Maybe we, if I even said that right, that didn't even sound right. I'm sure it came off right, but that's what we want, right? We're rushing out into the world and making it. We want to make a big difference, but a lot of us, we don't know what we want to do. And there's so many ways to help the world. There's so many ways to allow growth in the world. But if we're doing it for us to feel like we matter, if we're doing it for us to make us feel like somebody, to make us feel useful, to feel like we have a purpose in life, then we got to shift our perspective. Because helping people, believe it or not, is never, ever, ever about us. And you know, it's never about what we can do for others. It's about them. It truly is. The number one question I ask people when they say, oh, I want to help people, or I want to change the world, and I want to go off and do this. And I say, why do you do it? Why do you help people? And you know what they say? Because it makes me feel good. Now, those of you who listen to the show and who follow everything, the blogs and everything, what problem do you think I'm going to have with that? Because it makes me feel good. Is it in the best interest of somebody else if I'm doing it for me? If I'm doing something for supposedly to help somebody, and I'm doing it because I like to feel good, is that really helping somebody? Because to be in it, to be helping people, it has to be in their best interest. I have to go out and say, this is in their best interest, but what do I know? What is it really truly their best interest, or is it my best interest? It has to be about the most growth of a soul. And that's the tricky part, because we really don't know, do we? We really don't know what's in somebody else's best interest. We really don't know what's in somebody else's most growth, how it's going to transition them to grow more and to transcend. We don't know. But yet we're so ready to go out there and help people. And you know what? I want to say this. I love the fact that the people that want to help people are passionate about it and enthused about it. And I love that about you guys. I really do, because you need that. You need the passion. You need the excitement to go out in the world and really want to do that. But you also need persistence. You also need patience. And you also need to be smart about it. And we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show. But going back, we must also look at it and say, well, you know, if helping people is always about the most growth, and it always has to be, well, then how do we figure out what it is? And we have to be able to look at the soul's plan, or AKA the soul's blueprint. Well, do many of us do we recognize what a soul's blueprint is? Do we even know what a soul's blueprint is? I'm sure some of you who study spirituality, some of you who have watched some of the most famous psychics may have mentioned it or read in some, you know, in some yogi's journal about the life blueprint. But the blueprint is very important, because most of us want to help somebody to override that blueprint. Why? Because my clients, my students will always tell you, most of the time when we want to help somebody, it's because why? Because it makes us feel bad. If we are uncomfortable with what somebody else is going through, and we want to stop it, we want to change it so that we feel good about ourselves, and we feel good that they're no longer going through that. But how do you know that it's not in someone's life blueprint to go through that for them to learn to grow? And I don't care if it's the most horrific thing that they have to go through, but we have to go through these things in order for them to grow. And so we have to be able to make sure that we do not interrupt somebody's blueprint. We have to make sure that we're never stopping somebody from learning according to their blueprint. It's such an amazing thing, and we do this all the time. We do this all the time in our own selfishness. And this is why the show is called The Selfless Acts of Service to Humanity, because we must be selfless in our acts to humanity. When we're selfish in our acts, that means because we do it because we feel upset, because we feel sad, because we feel empathetic or we feel sympathy, it is no longer selfless. No longer. So we must have to have a keen eye to recognize someone's blueprint, right? How do we know when we recognize it? What is a blueprint? How am I going to know when I see it? How am I going to know when I am supposed to see someone's blueprint, or when I'm following along, if I'm helping someone, if I'm in service to humanity, if I'm working for the light, how am I to know that I'm following along with their blueprint? We'll be right back after a message from our sponsor.
KM Botanicals, a natural solution manufacturer, is committed to providing the finest, holistic, and purest therapeutic products. Stay tuned to see what the buzz is all about. KM Botanicals will be a way of life. KM Botanicals will promote total well-being through newer, purer, holistic products. You're one of the first in the know just for listening right now. Nothing like the others. KM Botanicals has 25 years of trust, technique, loyalty, and pure ingredients behind them, which have all come together in perfect harmony. Be part of it. Don't forget, when you hear KM Botanicals, you'll know that's the cue to begin your journey. Coming soon, KM Botanicals.
To recognize a blueprint, it requires, believe it or not, it requires training people. It requires years of training, lots, and sometimes even lifetimes of training, because this is not something that we just look at, where it's not a schematic to a piece of machine and all of a sudden we're able to read it and say, oh, okay, this is someone's life blueprint. We don't have a hard copy in front of our hands and for each person and say, okay, you know, Bob said that he's supposed to go through this and this, and this is supposed to be one of his causes. We don't have this. And so this takes a lot of training. And like I said, and sometimes over lifetimes, it could take 500 to 1,000 lifetimes of constantly observing and constantly going over things in order for us to develop the eye to recognize when someone is following their blueprint. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not going to share that information over the show of what I do to follow that, because that is not enough training. I may say something, and I know there are people out there that listen to the show that think that they will hear something and just be able to pick it up, and they're going to go and try to use this information. But I am a strong believer. I am always strong about having the proper training, especially when it comes to helping people. And it really does. We are dealing with people's lives here. We're dealing with people's mental and emotional conditions. And it's not in a psychiatric way, but in a way also it is. But this requires to be able to look at someone's blueprint. I will tell you, it requires true selflessness. And there has to be absolutely no form of ego in this whatsoever. You can't be in it for what's in it for me. That's not what it's about. When you're in it for you, if you're in service for the good feeling for you, then you're working from ego. If you're in it and you say, well, every time I go, I do it because I enjoy it, and it makes me feel like I'm productive. It makes me feel like I'm part of something. It makes me feel like I'm doing something in the world. You're doing it for the wrong reasons, and you'll never develop the I. I was talking with a student today who I care for very much, and I care for all my students. But during Hell Month, it's very challenging And you know, and all the all these people always come to me, and they're good-hearted people, and they want to help people, they want to make a difference in the world, but they always fall for this conditioning, because the world says you're not anybody unless you're doing some great thing, and we have ourselves to blame for it, because we put sports athletes who get paid an obscene amount of money over people who really do, you know. When our own veterans don't get any benefits at all, and they're the ones suffering, and you know, and I respect our veterans. I respect the people who sacrifice their lives for their belief in believing that they're protecting humanity. But I don't respect what it's actually for. And so our ego has to sit there and say, well, you know, our service doing this? Is my service for ego? Because if I need to feel good about something, then I'm doing it. And we must work to recognize that, because it's not genuine. Doing it for you creates the limitation. And all of you guys know I talk about limitations all the time. And I hope if there's a couple things that you get out of all this radio show is understanding limitations is around every corner, even in the sense of helping people. Because if we're working from ego, we are created a limitation. Why, Miss Raina, why are we creating the limitation? Why, if I'm doing this to help me, why am I doing? Because you're filling your own need. You're only going to help as long as you feel good. So if you're working for, let's say, hospice, and you feel good for 6 months, and all of a sudden the newness wears off, the honeymoon phase wears off, and the next thing you know, you're just bored with it, or it's not giving you that thrill anymore. It's not making you feel productive anymore. Are you going to stay with it? Absolutely not. So what good are you helping if you're only doing it as long as you're getting that feeling? Are we understanding what I'm trying to say? I know some people will say, well, there's nothing wrong, Miss Raina, if I feel good with it too. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong, that there's something wrong if you have a feeling about it. But when you look at this and you say, well, you know, I'm going to do it because I feel good about it. I'm going to give this homeless person $20 because I know I'm going to do well, you know, or karma's going to come back to me. You're not really helping them. You're helping yourself. And you must learn to change this perspective about you. You really have to learn to change this perspective because you're never going to truly help humanity or help another if everything is about you. But aren't we conditioned to be about us? And it's a normal thing, right? It is a normal thing to be conditioned about our own needs and wants, because we're so conditioned to giving over our power to everybody else that we become this person who feels lost, who feels insecure, who feels needy, who feels useless, and who feels like they have no purpose, because you're so busy giving it to everybody else. And so when you do help people, it's only to help yourself, and it's not true. And thus, the feeling of emptiness still resides in you. It's not rocket science, people. If you take a moment to step back from your emotions, to step back from the drama of life and society and your family and all these people wanting things from you, and you really take a focus of why we are doing what we're doing, then once we get through all this garbage, we can honestly say we are doing selfless acts of humanity, for humanity. We're doing selfless acts. It took me a long time, even in this life, to get that. Because I was raised religious. I was raised Catholic, and Catholicism teaches us to pray to a God, to give all your power over this. And the only reason why you should do good is because you're going to get punished. And I sat there and I'm like, wait a minute, something's not right here. And I would be like, so I'm doing this because this will get me a reward to get to a place called heaven. So why am I doing this? So basically I'm doing this like as a servitude to something, or I'm going to be punished. So how is that selfless? How is that really truly helping people? And Lori said to me, Ah, Raina, smart, smart. You woke up. You're waking up a little bit. Keep paying attention to your feelings. Keep paying attention to how you feel, because you know when something just doesn't jive. You know that. It's not servicing the greater good if it's servicing you. But who do we have to take? What do we have to do? Who do we have to put in charge? What is it that we have to put in charge in order for us to service in a selfless way? We have to put in charge us. And what does that mean? It means we take responsibility. I know you guys are so good. I'm so proud of you. I know you knew this. Yes, it is. It takes responsibility of yourself. And you know why? Because helping people is a big responsibility. It's not something that you can be like, oh, wait, hold on. I just wake up one day and say, I just want to change lives. I'm going to take a weekend class and call myself a Reiki master, you know, take an 8-hour class and call myself a touch healing therapist or this or that or a sound therapist. And, you know, and just help everyone with their darkest issues and emotions and just expect everything to go smoothly. It's not going to happen. And if you're in that fantasy world, I'm sorry, I'm going to show you guys tough love, but wake up. Wake up. You cannot be in this fantasy world of that you're going to take a weekend class and get certified in something and all of a sudden understand how to help people. Because if you're just looking to make people temporarily feel good with a little Reiki, with a little sound therapy, with a little, you know, crystal ball, whatever you're doing, you know, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But understand the limitation to that and stick to that. Don't think that you're going to be taught Reiki in two weekend classes or a weekend class for 3 months to get to a Reiki certification and all of a sudden say, hey, I can handle somebody's emotional issues. I can handle your relationship issues. I can handle you being depressed. I can handle you doing all this, losing your job. No, you can't. This takes a lifetime. This takes deep-seated training. People go to school for this. Psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, even life coaches go to training for this because it is that much of a responsibility. And if you don't take this responsibility seriously, you will cause chaos beyond your belief. You will cause more problems and you will turn around and say, oh my God, what am I doing? And guess what? If you're helping people for your own needs to feel important and this happens, what do you think is going to happen to you next? Being that you're already on unstable emotions because you're doing this to fill a need. Because there's unresolved issues. What do you think is going to happen next to you? That's right. You're going to crumble even more. You're going to turn into the people that you're helping. You're going to crumble. You're going to go into depression. You're going to go get sad and grief and do all these things. Because the foundation wasn't there. And you tried to build a house with rickety wood, not knowing what you're doing. And so we have to be able to do, and I want to say, I give all the people out there credit that do take, let's try that again. I give all the people credit out there that do take this seriously and that do selfless acts for humanity, that are really, really making a difference, that really go out there and understand and have the awareness of people and what it takes, because it takes dedication. It takes all these things. It takes a lot of selfless hours. It really does. And it's a lot of time very thankless, and we're not in it for a thank you, are we? And that's another thing. If you're in it for a thank you, guess what? You get something coming to you because that's not selfless. But, you know, I was talking to my protege actually the last couple of days, and, you know, and he called me and he said, you know, he's like, Miss Raina, I got to talk to you about something. And I said, well, what's going on? And he's like, well, you know what? I was out with my friend. I was having an experience, you know, we're in the car driving and we were talking, we got in this conversation and he mentioned a few things and I could tell that he was kind of down and lost about his life. And, you know, and I felt like I really wanted to get in there, and I really wanted to try to help him, and I really wanted to inspire him. And I just talked about how great my life is, and I talked about how great everything is, and how he should do this and how he should do that. And I felt really pumped up. I was super amped. And then all of a sudden I turned to him and I looked, and the words that came out of his mouth were more depression, were more victim. He started beating himself up because he was older than me. And in his eyes, because of what I was saying, it put him further back in his mind. He thought he was even less far now. He thought he was even way far back. It snowballed him backwards. And my protege said, I don't get that. I wanted to inspire him. I wanted to do that. But I did see that it was coming from ego, and I caught myself. But by then, it was too late. And how many of us have faced this? If we're truly helping people, you know, in a way that we're helping people with their lives and their emotions and trying to do this, of course we want to help them. Of course we want to inspire people. But people, we have to realize that our words are powerful. And you may think that you're helping someone, but in reality, it could be hurting them. It happens all the time. Because why? Our perceptions are different. Our realities are different. And if I told you over and over and over again, you cannot affect somebody else. You cannot make somebody feel anything other than what they want to feel. You cannot share. So one person, my protege, was sharing, feeling inspired inside, feeling powerful. And because we can't have transference, the other person, because they were the victim and because they were already in this helpless mode, could only be helpless even more because their perception was looking, wow, you know, wow, he's younger than me and he is doing all this stuff and I'm doing nothing. Look at me. I'm even worse than before. I'm more pathetic than before. And all this created more chaos. Because what are we doing? We're looking like it's like being in a cockpit, or it's being like in a loaded gun and not having any idea of how to shoot it, or being in the cockpit, like I say, and trying to find a plane, just knowing, oh, I know how to press buttons. Well, do you know what the buttons are for? Do you know how to have you ever flown an aircraft before? No, but I know how to press buttons, and I really am excited how to fly. I really want to fly this plane. Just because we really want to do something doesn't mean we have the knowledge or the awareness to do this. And this is why I say we must come from a selfless place. We must have our ego in check, and we must understand that this is a big responsibility. Because all of this stuff can shift people. You can cause someone more depression. You can cause them sadness. You can cause them grief. You can push someone who's already frightened even deeper. You can push someone already who has no belief and even more disbelief and despair than before. And guess what happens when people are in disbelief? When people are in disbelief, when people are in despair, they make irrational decisions. I mean, every single one of us out of fear has made decisions irrationally and sometimes with harsh consequences because we're not thinking properly, because we're acting on emotion, and emotion clouds our judgment. Even in the sense of wanting to help somebody, if we're not doing it for, let's use Miss Raina's no-no words, for the right reason, if we're not doing it for the reason of truth, then we're going to create chaos, and we must make sure that our acts to humanity are selfless. That means we have to remove our emotional state with it, and we have to make sure that we're following somebody's life blueprint, that we're understanding where this person is at their life. Some people don't want help. I don't know how many people come to me and say, oh, Miss Raina, you're going to be the one to fix me. And I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. I put on the brakes and say, absolutely not. With that attitude, I am not, because you are relying on me to fix you like a car, and you are not a car, and it's just not going to happen that way. It is absolutely not going to happen like that, because it's an art. I take great pride, people. I take great pride in all my students. I take great pride in the work that I do and who I am as a person. And I make sure that things are taken seriously, because people come to me and they say, and they're looking for guidance. They're looking for help. They're looking to be, they want to be that person. And don't you think we owe it to those people to give them that? Don't you think we owe it to them to make sure that we understand our material first in order to help them become who they want to be? I mean, if you don't get this in your head, if this is something that never registered in your head and you're going out and helping people, I'm going to tell you, stop helping people this instant. Until you get these concepts down and until you understand yourself and until you realize that helping people, you know, in all forms, you know, these are people's lives. You may be thinking that all you're doing is handing out some soup or creating this or giving out some, but these are people's lives. And to me, it will always be serious. To me, I will always give 100%. And if I don't know something, I will do whatever it takes to make sure I know. Why do you think I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in student loans? And I'm going back to school again to make sure that I have every angle possible, because I care about my students. I care about their lives. I want to make sure, even though my life is good and at the end of the day my life is going to be good, I want to make sure that they're coming to me, that they get the best information for them that they can get. And I can't do that if I don't understand these concepts. Go out there, people. Go out there and get the training. You need the training. You need to develop this as an art. It truly is. We'll be right back after these messages.
A message from the life of Raina. We live in a world faced with many tough challenges. Our lives become chaotic and fill with disaster ever so quickly, most of the time before we even realize. Our issues beat down our mental mindset, and an imbalance of emotions become prevalent. The Life of Raina is dedicated to helping people on the deepest spiritual level. Miss Raina, the creator of Transcendental Development and Growth, works on your core issues and finds the solutions which allow you to break free from the emotional bondages of life, helping you achieve the life you've always wanted to live. Isn't it time that you lived life for you? Call the Life of Raina, 561-846-2190. And schedule your appointment today. That's 561-846-2190. Or email thelifeofreina@icloud.com.
The first thing that we have to realize is the power that healing has. You know, I know a lot of us understand that healing is transformational, that healing can help us transcend, that healing can help us grow. But some of us don't really realize the true strength of the power of healing has, and what it can unleash. You know, if you listen to last week's show, The Chamber, you know, a lot of us, there's a few people that also said, well, Miss Raina, you didn't tell us how to get to The Chamber. And I said, I wrote them back, and I said, absolutely not. Of course not, because you don't have the training for it. And I'm not going to unleash that. I'm not going to have someone trying to fly a plane that doesn't understand avionics. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to have someone try to face or try to or have one experience and think that they can go off and do the chamber with other people and not realize the power that healing has. Healing is so powerful, but it can cause temporarily chaos in the middle, because people who are afraid of the emotions, people who haven't dealt with the emotions, have to relive it. And that can be a very, very hard thing to do. Well, you know, and we have to understand the vulnerability of people and their minds and their emotional state. I tell you right now, I've said it twice already, we are going through hell month with my students. And each one of them have been like, oh my God, I did not realize it was hard. One of them even said, I felt like running. I felt like just running away and just saying, see you later. To face self is very hard. But you know what? I commend every single one of them who are still willing, that know that it's tough, but are still willing, that love themselves enough to keep going through, because they're going to see what the other side is like. And I'm telling you, it is beautiful, people, because there is nothing that I don't do for my students or nothing that I teach that I haven't gone through myself. If I talk about it, I understand it. If I understand it, that's because I've gone through it. So for the students that do listen to this show, I am so proud of you. Don't ever forget that. But we are, you know, but back to that, when people are afraid, you know, when they're afraid, when they're scared, when they're in pain, when they're emotional, they blindly trust. And this is the naivety of people, is we already blindly trust doctors and politicians. Even though we say, oh, yeah, I know they're corrupt, we still blindly follow them. Even though they say, oh, yeah, I know Western medicine or the lab coach, we still listen to them the moment they say something. And this is the same for healers. When people are in an emotional state and they're afraid and they're scared and they're in pain, they blindly trust you, and they will trust anything and anyone, and that can be dangerous. And to the people that are just running around thinking this is silliness, that I'm just going to go around, call myself a healer, throw some stones on people, and they don't realize what they're unleashing, because we don't know what somebody else has gone through. So a lot of people who go through healing, you know, may unleash some, like maybe someone was raped and they never dealt with it, and all of a sudden the energy causes it to get stirred up, and they don't know how to deal with it because they weren't expecting it, and neither was the healer. And guess what? Nobody knows how to deal with the situation. And they came to you because you're a healer. You're supposed to know this stuff. You're in service to the light. You're out there doing, you know, the light's work. You're out there. And we just take it as silliness. And that is one of the reasons why the people who aren't into this type of work, you know, unless it's some direct like food thing or blood banks or something like that, why this type of work is taken with a grain of salt, is because we make it that way. We don't have the respect for ourselves. We don't have the understanding of healing, most of us. And we just go out there, everybody's a healer. I go on social media. I don't know, of all the friends and people who like my page, every single person's a healer. But their issues, I see them complain and angry and their issues every single day. How can you be a healer? How can you be helping these people? How can you be doing this if you're working from ego and your life is chaotic? You can't be doing a selfless act for somebody if you have an emotional imbalance, if you work from ego. When you're working from ego, that means you're blind, people. You are blind to seeing others' distress. And remember, I said it takes a keen eye for you to be able to see someone's blueprint. When you have emotion, you are blind. Everything is seen through like a hazy glass, a hazy fog. You can't see the truth of the matter. And you're blind to helping them. You are limited to helping them because you can only see an inch in front of you instead of 100 yards down the way. But we do it. We go out there, because all you're really thinking is, oh, goody, yay, I get to help them. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to make me feel good. I'm going to be super important. I'm going to go out there and do my selfless act because karma is going to reward me. God's going to be happy with me. I'm going to get into a heaven, and, you know, and everyone's going to win. Ah, you know, if you hand some homeless guy $20, hey, no harm, no foul. If you, you know, give someone some clothes, hey, no harm, no foul. If you help the environment, hey, no harm, no foul, depending on what you're doing. But when it comes to working in this type of field, when it comes to helping people on an energetic, emotional, and mental level, and a spiritual level, this is deep. And so there are many forms of this. This is not just the type of work I do. I want you people to apply this into anything of your life, into your family, into your kids, the way you treat them, the way you talk to them, the way you interact with your partners and relationships. This is all ties into each other, because this is all life. And so you create the limitation, right? Because your only focus is you, right? We're back to you. We're back to me, right? We're back to me. So we create the limitation, and we create the limitation. We stop their growth. How many of you have people all around you, right? How many of them always come to see you for advice? They're always solving their problems. They're always asking you before the big decisions or before any decision. You're their go-to person. You're the one you're the rock. You're the sun to their universe, or sun to their solar system, I should say. That's what you're there for, right? You're there to give advice. You're there. Everyone around me, I'm the rock to the universe. And you probably think, hey, I'm really helping people. Everyone comes to me. Look at how important I feel. Everyone comes to me. But in actuality, you know what you're creating? You're creating a codependency. You have developed a codependency with those people in need. You are developing a dependency with each other because you need to feel important, because you need to feel like somebody, because you're doing this to fill an insecurity, to fill a void, and they have voids, and so you're mutually filling it, and nobody grows because you're not allowing them to develop their own sense of self. You're stopping them from growing. You're stopping them from learning. You're stopping them from growing to find security within themselves. How can they be confident when you're always answering their questions? How can they learn to make decisions, you know, that are going to help them grow and help them learn and help them mature and take control, take life by control, if you're the one who's always doing it for them? I my students, I stop them a lot. I'm always stuck. When I get a student that sits there and says, oh man, I just want to help everybody. And you know, I'm out there and I told this person this weekend, I hear over and over every week, oh, well, I helped this person. I did this and I did this. And I told my daughter this or sister this or brother this or aunt this. And they're always doing it. The first thing I do is I put the kibosh on it. I say, nope, you're done. You are done helping people. You're done giving advice. And they say, well, Miss Raina, but why? But, you know, but they're going to crumble. I need to talk to my son. I need to talk to my daughter. I need to let them know because they don't know. Exactly. They don't know. They are dependent on you for answers. Because, and you are not helping them. This is why when you send them out into the world, you've created somebody who's insecure. You've created somebody who can't make a decision, who doesn't know how to learn something, who has no confidence, who has no self-esteem, who doesn't have self-love, because they were too busy depending on you. And my clients hate this. My students hate this, because when I see someone developing a dependency on me, I have to cut the cord. That doesn't mean I stop them in my program, but what it means is I recognize that they're dependent on me, and so that means I have to jar out the emotion and find the insecurity, find the trigger that causes this dependency, and make them realize, hey, you are a strong, confident, wonderful person that is filled with these things already, and you need to go out and find it. And if you know this, I do not give out answers all the time. How many times, even in the show, I give out a lot of information, but I don't tell everything. There is a lot of things in my shows that I do not speak of, because I want you guys to develop decision making. I want you guys to develop your own confidence, your own security, your own control in life. I want you to grow and learn on your own, because this is the only way you're going to do it. This is the only way you're going to stop feeding off each other. And parents out there, if you have children, allow them to make some of their own decisions. Who cares if you think that you know, as long as they're not going out there doing something so horrific that it might get them killed. But, you know, let them falter. Let them make decisions. Let them choose the bad relationships, the bad guys or the bad girls. You know, let them do that stuff so they learn and grow, because you will be doing more of a favor for them. You will be helping them truly. You will truly be in service to humanity when you allow people to develop their own skills and talents, when you allow them to develop their own confidence, and when you allow them to be ownership of their own life. But we've been conditioned so much that you're a bad parent or you're not a good friend. If you're not telling someone what to do, if you're not in control, hey, this is my house, you're going to follow my rules. What you're really doing is creating that insecurity. And the selfless acts are just that, right? Selfless. You can't allow somebody to develop all these things if you're trying to control it, if you're trying to do all that stuff. How about for all of you, and we've heard this term many times before, right? How many of you have heard the unhealed healers, right? Or the unhealed helpers? And there's so many unhealed healers, massage therapists, psychiatrists, healers and light workers. There's so many of us out there. And like I said before, if we can't get our own lives together, how are we going to help someone transform? How are we going to allow someone to grow? If we can't understand ourselves, how are we going to understand what somebody else is going through? You know, with my protege the other day too, he was like, well, you know, he's like, well, I, you know, we were going through the same exact experience, so I thought that I could offer my advice. Well, no, you're never, ever, ever going through the same experience, ever. Because each person has their own thoughts, their own beliefs, their own perceptions, and their own realities. And no two people can watch the same movie and get two different things out of it. Why? Because they interpret things the way they want to. And so you may have similar experiences, but never exactly the same. And so, but you're going to offer your advice anyways, right? You're going to, even though we're emotionally a mess, even though we don't have our lives together, even though we don't take the time to figure out who we are or face our deepest, darkest challenges, we're still going to offer it up because we need to fill that void. We need to feel like somebody. And you know what the sad thing is a lot of you may think this is funny, but people do this daily. I go out in the world to all these places, all these healing places, and I see this going on day in, day out. And it's all about ego. It's all about what can let me show you what I'm about. Let me show you how great I am. And this is not right. This is a serious problem. And this is why the world does not change, is because if we're not focused inside, if we don't know how to deal with our own relationships, if we don't know how to deal with our own emotions, if we don't know how to face ourselves, we cannot help others in that area. So yes, you can still help people by picking up the environmental trash, by helping out animals. There's lots of many ways to do selfless acts and be in service to humanity. But if you're going to be in any form of healing, you must understand this at the core, and all this stuff must be your core. It has to be. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. Because if you're in it and you say, oh, well, you know, healing's about to make me feel good, it has to be much more than making someone feel good. Because there's nothing wrong with giving someone a little energy treatment, making them feel good, settle down their energy, make them feel a little bit balanced for a little bit. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes when we're in distress, we need that. And I think that's a great service. But when they're coming back to you over and over and over, and they're not dealing with their issues, that's a dependency, and you're no longer helping them. They're depending on you to constantly make them feel temporarily good about themselves or feel well in order for them to do that. And so you're thinking you're doing wonders, but we're really not helping them, are we? So you want to make a true impact? Then don't make it about you. Do more. Learn more about you. You do more than just a weekend class. I mean, I live and breathe this stuff every single day. This is my life. This is who I am. And I don't want any other profession than to be in the service of humanity. This is what I was born to do. And every day it is still my choice, though, to do this. But I educate yourself. I educate myself because, yes, I have a lot of spiritual knowledge, but I still want to know the human body because I don't remember all that stuff from past lifetimes. I still want to know the way the brain works because, you know, I still don't remember everything. A lot of it comes through channel. But still, people, I do not know everything. And so subjects that I know that I don't know, I need to go out and educate myself properly so that I have the proper knowledge and I grasp from as much knowledge as I can. And you need to do. You need to get your life together first as well. If I'm not feeling 100%, if I'm not feeling whole at the moment, guess what? I cancel out my clients. I do. I cancel them out. I say, hey, guys, I'm not feeling up to you. I can't give you 100%. I'm emotional right now or something's going on with my life. And, you know, and I need to do this. When I was in school, I cut my clients down to very minimal because I had to concentrate on school because I knew I couldn't give them everything. And they deserve the best. They do. My students and the people I work with, they deserve the best because they're awesome. They're special people and everyone is special and everybody deserves that. And so if you're going to do this, make sure that your students and your clients understand that too and you have the same attitude because otherwise we're creating a false sense of help. That's what we're doing. We're just going to make them feel good for just a few seconds and or maybe a day or two, and then they're going to go right back into their habits, right back into their emotions, right back into it, and it's going to be the same vicious cycle over and over. A car can't run if it's not finished, right? So how do you expect us to run if we're not finished, if we're not built all the way? You know, our body is amazing. It can survive on a lot of stuff. But when it comes to this line of work, when it comes to being in service to humanity with selfless act minus the ego, this takes work, people. And no matter what I do, even if I'm handing out meals to somebody, I make sure it's coming from a selfless place. I'm making sure that I'm doing my very best that somebody else understands that there are people out there that care. Because at the end of the day, hey, I still got a house to go to. And I appreciate everything. Some people don't have that. And you know what? That's, you know, we have to all pitch in. We all, if we all believe in the idea that we're all one, then shouldn't we all respect each other? Shouldn't we all give 100% to each other? Because I'm you and you're me. It makes sense. It's wonderful, people, if you want to help people. It really is. But be smart about it. Remember that it's more than feeling good. It's more than being or getting what you want out of it. It's more than what you get out of it. And being in service to others means that it's service to yourself first. Make sure that you understand you first, that you have the self-love, that you have the confidence, that you have the understanding of you. And always, always be selfless in the acts of service to humanity. All right, everybody, that is our show tonight. I enjoyed tonight's show, and I miss you guys so very much. Like I said, this was our 99th show, and I'm hoping that we can get it out next week, but it might actually be 2 weeks because I'm really trying to get a really exciting show, and I'm really trying to land this guest that I've been wanting. I was going to have a two-hour show, but it just seemed very – so with all the guests back, but it just seemed really excessive, and a lot of people couldn't do it on that day. So I don't know, but I'm going to throw something because you guys deserve it, and I'm going to give you my best, and you guys are really special. So if you'd like to follow us, you can follow us on our Facebook at facebook.com/Transcendental Transformation Radio Show. That's all one word. You can follow me personally on my social media at facebook.com/The Life of Raina. Visit our website, soulandspiritguide.com, and sign up for our newsletter, people, to receive special offers on hidden shows, VIP access to websites, and even special offers from guests that we've had in the past. If you'd like to email me, I'll get back to your guys' emails as much as I can. If not, Lenora will get back to it. But email us at thelifeofraina@icloud.com. All right, everybody, have a wonderful week, and I will see you as soon as I can. And always remember to believe in yourself, and it's not our abilities or our talents that make us who we are, but it is our choices. Thank you, and have a wonderful evening.